Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm very pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sri Devi, who is the primary steward of the work in Africa amongst our practice stewards and is here to speak with us about actually far more than I think we can cover in 10 minutes, but we're going to do our best and primarily to really build excitement about the opportunity for folks to speak with Teresa and the team live both tomorrow morning and or Saturday morning. So thanks so much for being with us, Sri Devi.
Oh my gosh, it's my pleasure, Jen.
Yeah, so fun. So as we were talking about it, you know, one of the things I think is extraordinary, I think we pointed at this in the email we sent out notifying people about that call Wednesday morning and Saturday morning, and we'll talk more about that in announcements, but that it's rare, I think, that one gets to talk directly to the folks who are actually on the ground doing the work, you know, and even some of the kids themselves. And as we were looking at that, I realized that the process that the three of us, Teresa, you, and I, do each fall around going through each individual girl in the girls program in terms of, okay, where are they now? Their school year ends in the end of December, and so that's a big transition time. So every single girl gets looked at individually, and we just thought, wow, wouldn't that be kind of a fun thing to talk about that on Good News, both the process of that but also some of the content of it, so people really get a sense of how much individual care and detail there is in the project, and that's part of what makes it so special.
Absolutely, yeah.
So maybe you could start by just, you know, what happens come late November?
Oh, wow. Well, so the three of us, Teresa, myself, and you, we're really lucky that we talk on average 1 to 2 times a week. So, you know, we are in constant conversation around what's going on, how are things. So there's generally kind of a general weekly check-in. Is there any kind of thing that Teresa needs us to look at or she wants us to know? Do we have any questions? And then on a periodic basis, you know, we go through each girl and we go, how are they? What's going on in the program? How are they doing in school? Because one of the really amazing things is not only Teresa working with a team to feed 1,000 children every day and support so much of what they're doing, but she's also going to the schools and talking to the teachers and getting firsthand information that then she relays back to us. And so we start talking about the girls at several different times to just get a sense of how they're doing over the year, or anything that's going on. But then come November, you know, the final exams happen in November, and that's kind of, like you said, everything starts to build because there's really this 3 or 4 week crunch window where we get a ton of information and then need to look at what the next step is. And so it's, you know, what are the girls' results? Based on their results, what do we think is the next best step for them? If it's going to this school or going to that school, or maybe they didn't pass, so where do we think we want to work with them on? What does Teresa think? What does the cooperative think? What does the teacher think? So there's a lot that goes into conversation around it. Jen, sorry, I don't know if it was just me, but I couldn't hear what you were saying. It came across a little garbled. Can you hear me clearly? Yeah, I'm so sorry, Jen. I'm not able to hear you clearly. Hold on. I'm going to see if I can switch my phone and maybe that's the... All right, let me try this. Jen? No. Michael, are you by any chance on?
Sri Devi, is that any better?
Oh, yes, there you are. So sorry. Okay, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's my connection. Thank you so much for telling me that.
Oh, sure.
So I was just really appreciating you laying now all of that out and adding the piece that, you know, of course, what adds to that whole adventure is then, you know, the funds need to get created into money wires, and then the money wires need to go over, and then these money wires go over at this time, and these go at that time. So it is action-packed this time of year. And fun. You know, I mean, that's what gave me the idea for us to just spend a few minutes looking at all of it, because it's so much fun. But the love, you know, we always talk about in practice that, you know, that attention is love. Love is attention. And
yeah.
So it's such a form of getting to know each girl and getting to love each one individually when we go through them in that way.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, this just was dropping in the other day because I was writing something for the newsletter this month about this process a little bit. You know, it's the start of the school year, and just so grateful for practice and the training of practice of where to bring the attention and the process of this. Because, you know, we can talk about the what, the content, you know, when this is what this girl is doing and this is where she's going, but how we do it, how we engage around the conversation and the approach from that place of, you know, conscious compassion awareness really helps frame how all of this comes together.
Yeah, exactly so. Exactly so. So maybe you could run us through just a few of the girls as an example of kind of what we're looking at and how we do that process.
Sure, sure. So, you know, there are 50 girls in the program. Mm-hmm.
There's no way we'll get through it in 10 minutes, right?
Right, yeah. Right. So I'll just pick out a handful and just give some stuff, and please, Jen, jump in if I need to be directed in a certain way. So we of course have our 5 grade 1 girls who are starting off in school. They're doing great, and everyone's advancing, with some of the girls being at the top of their class. And what's exciting about watching their track is we really are going to get to see year over year what happens when, from day one, you know, from the first grade, you know, they are in this type of environment. And then, of course, we jump to our grade 5 girls. And something really interesting about our grade 5 girls, of which we have 10 of them, 3 of them were actually flagged this year. Flagged, I shouldn't use that word. We're actually, like, highlighted. Highlighted. To skip a grade and go from, instead of going into grade 6 this year, to possibly skip to grade 7 because the teachers felt that they were really bright. Now, remember, these are the girls who started with Sister Phil in the Genki program. So that's really exciting to see. And this was one where we kind of took a step back and really talked with Teresa about, okay, so this is the recommendation from a teacher. But in looking at it, we decided we wanted to actually not have them advance a grade, stay with the classmates that they're with, and go through every grade, you know, because we think that's also really important to not try to allow them to have the experience that they're going to have at a pace that can feel a little bit more supported. And so, but it was pretty exciting to find out 3 of our girls were just ready to, like, you know, possibly jump on up a little bit more.
Yeah. And the parents and Teresa and the whole team there really were supportive of, let's not, I mean, this is what the teacher said, but let's keep them, you know, developmentally being able to stay with their peers. Yeah,
absolutely. And then we have, you know, some grade 8 girls going on to grade 9. And then, you know, there's a lot happening with the grade 9 girls. So for the Sangha, there are different times in the school year which are identified as exam years. So grade 7, grade 9, and grade 12 are where they take exams. They take exams, you know, in every grade, but these are called exam years because if the final results of these particular exams determine whether or not they're going to advance to the next grade. And most of the other grades, they almost automatically advance.
Those are kind of standardized national exams that say every 7th grader in Zambia is going to take the exact same exam.
And we had 12 girls in grade 9 this year. So this is one of those ones where we were just, like, really waiting for all the exam results to come in. And we had some girls who passed and some girls who didn't pass. And this is an interesting grade and a place because some of our girls are older and have taken, you know, have repeated grade 9 several times. So we have one particular girl who took her grade 9 exam for the 5th time this year. She studied really hard. She worked really hard. But, you know, unfortunately did not pass her grade 9. You know, it's really difficult when the educational system, unfortunately, doesn't set you up to succeed, if that's fair to say, in Zambia, at least in the government school system. And so, you know, we want to look at what are the conversations we can have to still support a path for these girls. So in this particular girl's case, she has told us and shared with Teresa that she's really interested in mechanical engineering. And it just so happens we found a school, Twikatani, that I believe offers courses around that. So we kind of said, all right, let's start a conversation with her and talk about, well, is this an opportunity that you would be interested in? And maybe there's a different way for her to kind of be able to move forward.
And, you know, the thing that's really exciting about that, Shadevi, is that when we talked to Teresa about it, you know, we've got, this year was a pilot program of some folks being in the skills program. For example, Susan, who's the young gal in the wheelchair who had not been able to continue school for a bunch of variety of reasons, is in a tailoring program, and she has absolutely loved it. And the unexpected thing that it's really done is not only is she loving it and has a whole future ahead of her, but it's really made that track real for the girls.
Yeah.
And so Bertha, this woman who you're talking about, this young gal who you're talking about, when I asked Teresa, you know, how does she feel about it? She said, oh, she, you know, they watch Susan and they think, oh my gosh, I want to do that. That's fabulous. So she's gone from sort of feeling defeated and like, oh, I mean, this is the only track that's available to me and I'm failing at it and there's nothing, as you say, my fifth try, to, oh my gosh, this whole other thing is open to me. So it's really, and it's an exciting adventure, as you say, of, you know, what are all the different ways that each girl individually can be supported, and it's not going to be the same thing for everyone.
Yeah, and I think what's so important about what you just shared, Jen, is I remember when going to college was like not even, they didn't believe it was possible, and then Susan got in, you know, a couple of our Sylvia got in, and a couple of our girls, Sylvia and Miriam, got in, and all of a sudden nursing school became a possibility, and so they saw that. And then you have Susan who's doing the skills program, and they're seeing that. So what's exciting is every year the program progresses, and we get to see different girls, you know, explore different paths. So many more options become available in from an experience standpoint for these girls because they're actually watching it happen to their peers.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Really, I could listen to you all night, and I mean it. I mean, I know, quote, know all this stuff, but I enjoy it so much. I really, really do. Which is part of why, you know, to the best of our ability, we want to let the fun get in on the excitement. So it's not just the three of us. You, me, and Teresa get to have all the fun. But, and that was a big motivation behind us organizing these calls. So 9 a.m. tomorrow Pacific time and 10 a.m. Saturday, we're going to have the team on a conference call. We sent out an email today with the details on that. And bless your heart, Shadevi, have you done some huge things to help make that happen technologically. And we've just run into thing after thing after thing. And so we're having to do some workarounds, but it's going to work. We're going to hear from Teresa and the team tomorrow. So I really hope people will come because not only I think will it be fun for us, but Teresa's thrilled. And she said the team is beside themselves excited. So I really hope people will show up for that reason so that they really get a sense that we're out here. You know, we're out here supporting them like crazy.
Yeah, and I'll just say, you know, I'm very privileged that I get to talk to Teresa almost every single week. And hearing just Teresa's voice is like is joy incarnate. There's so much excitement, there's so much appreciation, there's so much gratitude, there's so much enthusiasm that you just have such a heart experience of this work. So not only do I hope people participate, but I'm just so grateful for everyone that supports this project and this practice because, you know, I'm lucky enough to get to be on the ground and get to do a lot of this work, but it's through the people who support it that allow it to happen. So just, you know, big, deep gusto to everybody.
Amen. Amen. And same to you. A huge gusto to you, Shadevi, and thank you for being with us this afternoon, and thank you for all that you're always doing.
So great to be with you, Jen.
All right. Thanks for giving a quick week there.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. And normally we would pass the show over to Michael, but this afternoon I have the great privilege of hosting, so I will say welcome to Open Air and good afternoon, Sherry.
Can you not hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. Perfect.
Oh, okay. Good. Oh, good. Because I was saying, as soon as I stop crying, I'm gonna get right on with this show. And what you're going to have to be in charge of is getting me stopped from talking about Cantalomba so that we can do what we're actually here to do. I tell you, that was so thrilling. That was so thrilling. I was thinking back to Teresa saying to me the last time we were all there, you have to come back when these girls graduate.
That's it.
And yeah. it wasn't a request.
No.
It was, you will come back, Mom.
That's
Sherry.
Right.
And I thought, oh, I think we got to start making our plans for that, right? Get Sri Devi back there and get us and grab Ashwini and I don't know, maybe Sister Phil, maybe Anna, some of the folks who were there for those little people getting first started. It's so thrilling. And you know, Jen, when I think about Bertha, I don't know if humbled is the right word, or I don't know what it is. I think if I weren't so schooled in going beyond self-hatred, there could be an element of that. So I had a really difficult day today, difficult day. I mean, it started out with things not going well, and it just continued, okay, with thing after thing after thing that I tried to do and it wouldn't work, and I tried to do and it wouldn't. And what started it off is I dropped my favorite cup, which was enormous, as you know, because all my cups are enormous, but this was the most enormous one of all, and it was full, and it broke, and it threw liquid all over me and everything else, okay? And that kind of became the high point of the day. And then I think about Bertha, right?
Yeah.
She's tried 5 times to pass that exam. And she can't do it. And she would try again. And she would try just as hard this time as she tried those other times. And I just think, I feel pathetic. You know, in comparison, I just feel pathetic in my life. In awe of these people. You know, Sri Devi talking about Teresa and the joy and the gratitude that she experiences, how completely thrilled she is by these things that we would consider bad news.
Exactly.
Right? They still don't have enough to eat. As much as we try for them, they still don't. They still don't have the medical care that they need. They still, schools are an abomination, and they just keep showing up and going on and doing well and loving their lives, loving each other. It's
remarkable. The team is.
It really
and
is.
And the cooperative is serving all of that in the middle of, exactly as you say, really hard circumstances. Right?
Oh.
So they're feeding all those kids, and then there are all those kids that they aren't feeding.
Oh.
You know? I mean, they're the whole country.
Hanging on the fence every day, begging to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I really, truly don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't. I just don't think I am built of that Sterna stuff, quite frankly. And so everything that we can do to help them, just it makes me so grateful. And then the only other thing I wanted to say, Jen, is you mentioned Susan, and God love our little Susan, but how is our Peter?
He's great.
Okay.
Terry. So Peter is one of the cooperative members, I'll say super quickly, one of the cooperative members, and he's in the Carpentry Skills Program. And Teresa was just saying the other day, it was in relationship to, but something around how we were saying that they're all an example to everyone. And she said, you know, it's like Peter, forever he's had the dream. Oh, it was in relationship to Bertha. Like, she could actually realize her dream to become a mechanical engineer. She said, it's like Peter, he's beside himself, but he's finally realizing this dream to actually be a trained carpenter.
Yeah. And of course, we loved Peter for years. And, right? I mean, practically from the beginning. right, of the cooperative. I don't know if he was there right at the beginning, but and watched him struggle with things that people yep. struggle with and yep. overcome those things and step up for this opportunity. And he has to be such an inspiration and role model for those boys who just don't have anything going for them at all. And mm-hmm. and so, you know, to see that possibility and that he yep. could move into that role for the boys in the way that there are so many women there who are standing up for those girls and making that happen. And for the boys. I mean, the boys are fed and they're going to school and all that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Within that, there isn't that same, you know, who's going to be the one who graduates and goes to college and has a dream and comes back to the community and that sort of thing. So,
Thank you so much for saying all of that, Sherry. You know, I really just, so we've raised almost $80,000 so far.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we're $500 short of
$80,000. Whoa.
I know. And so we've got, it's January 14th. We've got 2 weeks to bring it across the finish line. And I get such goosebumps when I think about it because I'm ready. I'm ready to make that. It's that final sprint where it's just, we're going to do it. Let's do it. Because
what is our final goal, Jen?
110.
110. Oh, yeah, I think I'm pretty sure we can do it. We have some great opportunities for people coming up, right? Programs
exactly.
that people can do. And I think we just put one on the boards, right? Can I announce it, or are you going to announce it? Or?
No, you go.
We just, for the Forever Retreat, we just did a best year yet. And I said to Ashwini, you know, we just got to do that for the Sangha because there's just nothing like best year yet for setting yourself up for a year of success. So the date for that, Jen, is going to be?
The 26th, Sunday, the 26th at 1 p.m. Pacific time, 1 to 5
Pacific.
P.m. Pacific time. Yep.
Okay.
And Sherry,
and,
while we're at it, go ahead.
Well, it's on donation. And all the money goes to the kids, the folks. Yeah,
okay. Exactly so. And it's turned out to be really, really fun because that essentially, for anyone who wants to, could really turn that weekend into a retreat weekend. Because on the Saturday, Ashwini will lead a workshop on the practice of commitments. So what we wrote about that, if you're
so
ready,
you learn how to commit.
Exactly.
You learn how to commit. And then the next day, you see what you're going to commit to.
Fill it in. Exactly.
I love it.
So the write-up for the practice of commitments, if you're ready to interrupt a pattern of suffering around making, keeping, or not keeping commitments, this workshop is for you. So exactly so. You set yourself up on Saturday for the how, and then it just becomes a playground on Sunday of, okay, so I get it. All
fill it in.
Are going to be things to just, you know, help me to end suffering. So now I just get to play with what do I want to do this year? And it even gets better than that because the morning of Sunday before the workshop to get yourself ready for it, we have a yoga offering.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh,
recharging, rejuvenating, and a gentle yoga class.
And it's a practice weekend that's going to come into our home.
That's
right? We're on retreat in our very own home doing all of these things.
All by donation.
All right.
All to the work in Africa.
Pardon me?
All by donation and all to the work in Africa.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Thank you.
And Sherry, I have two more announcements before we move on to take our callers. The first one is to join us on our annual New Year kickoff. And that's this Sunday, January 19th, for a look at what opportunities lie ahead in 2020. There's no charge to attend, but we ask that you do register. If you go to the website, livingcompassion.org, you'll see the details on registering for that. So it really does help us if, you know, please do register for the event so we can get you the details and know how many slots we need to plan for and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And then... for the email class, in February. Are you in need of clarity around some challenging content in your life? You won't want to miss Sherry's new Socratic email class that begins February 1st. Participants will choose their focus for the class and will have 6 interactions with Sherry. For those and all of the other practice opportunities, visit the website livingcompassion.org.
All right.
Yeah,
I gosh, life is exciting,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Send the email class.
It's really
good. It's awesome. All right. Well, I'm just going to project lots of other folks on in on the conversation. So shall we get started?
Yeah. Let's talk to those good people.
All right.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Sherry.
Yes.
This is Polly. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Jen. Hi, Sherry. It's Todd calling. How are you?
Well, good, Todd. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you.
Only okay? Is that fantastically okay?
Yes, thank you.
Fantastically
okay.
Beautifully okay.
Beautifully okay. I just a good news update too. It just overwhelmed by with all the work they're doing there, and have been following the project almost from the beginning too. So, I
know it's near and dear to your heart.
It is. Yeah, I was weeping openly as well. I was very deeply moved of the incredible. I remember in the beginning, if they could just get clean water, they would be over the moon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And they were. And then roofs were on their houses so they didn't fall down in the rain. And
roof program, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just step after step after step. Every time, you know, they'd get something under their belts, and then we would say, okay, well, what should we tackle now? And they would say, whatever that was. And, you know, we're now, I think we still say that we're working with 1,000 kids. I think Jen can clarify this for us, but I think we're over that number actually at this point, because they've said, no, we can do it. We can do it.
Wow.
We can, you know, we can feed more than 1,000 kids a day.
Okay.
Heck yeah.
I can't even wrap my head around that. Just the logistics.
Todd, being there and just seeing that number of kids, come through there, let alone those pots and lining them up and washing their little hands. Sweetest thing in the world. But, day after day, they do that.
Right. Even weekends now, too. I think Saturday, Sundays,
weekends.
Too.
Weekends. That's right.
Yeah.
Every
Not just
single
the,
day. Yep.
Every single day. Every single day. Yeah.
Yep.
So I had set a $2,000 goal for my project. For Africa, and I hit 1,000, and I've got another push. I'm going to send out another round of emails in the next couple of days, just kind of a wrap up and express thank you. It was
see
talked
if anybody
about.
Pitches.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Right.
But 1,000—that's nothing to sneeze at, is it?
Not yet. No, absolutely not. No, that's
to feel very, very, very good about.
Very, very good about. I don't know how to frame this. The most emotional roller coaster I've been on in a long, long time with this project. Gone from elation of donations, and then kind of, after every round of emails being sent out, because I've got a quite a big contact list, almost 100, and to see a lot of folks not responding, and close folks to me, and I project some of the most privileged folks on the planet that could afford a very small amount, which I've asked in different ways. So it's like, I'm trying to not go with the process of bitterness and resentment, but it is pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you have any encouragement on that?
I know what
you
mean.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, the thing that I get, the place that I get to with it, Todd, is that there are, like, I have a couple of dear friends who are really involved with this thing called CASA, which is their child advocates. So kids who don't have an adult to, you know, kids in foster care and that sort of thing. And people volunteer and they take them to dentist appointments. It's like Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And, but they're very, you know, very involved in their lives. And so I give to that because that's my here in this country, you know, then I got Africa and I got here, which is basically what I can do. And so I know that there are so many people who are doing all kinds of things with all kinds of groups, and I can't actually support all of them financially. I wish I could, but I actually can't. And so I would not want them to feel that it was anything other than that. Now, it would be nice, granted, if people would say, you know what, I feel, you know, I have so much that I can allot and I reach my allotment, and so I really can't at this point. But that's a difficult place for a lot of people to be able to communicate something like that.
Okay.
So it's, you know, a lot of us are heavily conditioned to just ignore it and hopefully it'll go away, right? The campaign will be over. He'll stop
sending
emails.
That.
We'll forget about it, and we'll
thank
be back to life as usual. Yeah, and I don't know any of that, of course, but those are just my projections because, you know, they're your friends. So we can guess from that that they're good people. And we can't really know what goes on in somebody's somebody's mind or heart about these kinds of things.
Right. Okay. Well, that's very helpful. I guess I go to this place of just a yes or no. The non-response is the one that it feels hurtful
to
me. The hardest, where they just can't even respond with a yes or no, just because these are my friends, and we're you know, we cross paths a lot, and I'm just thinking they can't do a quick reply and just the non-response, Sherry, is where I get really, that's where I struggle.
Yeah, that's the triggering place.
That's
and,
where I get triggered.
You know, and so maybe, Todd, just to get to a place of, even though we acknowledge we have actually no idea what's going on with anybody, often we don't have any idea what's going on with us, but just to get to that place of, well, I'm sure they have a good reason.
Thank you.
And the good reason could be as simple as, it's just so uncomfortable, I can't.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
That took me to a place of compassion, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, good. And then just, you know, we just bless one another and go on.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the support and thank you for the opportunity to participate in the Africa Project. It's been a really beautiful experience all around, even though it's been at times difficult. That's okay. Nothing like the struggles the folks in Africa have, believe me. So I'm not trying I am extremely – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, it is a workshop.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
The fundraising part – I mean, the – you know, I'm sure you also wrote a check, you know, so I also
a few checks.
Make a donation.
Yeah, I made 42 donations.
And, so we can feel really good about that, just really, just they're unreservedly good about that. But the fundraising part, it's a workshop.
It is.
It really
it's high
is.
Level.
And so when we do our best year yet, we don't want to forget putting that on my accomplishments for the year, because that's a huge accomplishment just to do it.
Okay.
And I know there are people for whom it's really easy, but I'm not one. It sounds like you're not one.
No,
and so the fact that we show up
easy.
And do it is something to feel
thank
really pleased about.
Well, thanks so much for that. I really appreciate it. It's very
you are so
heart-opening. Well, thanks again, and thank you, Jen, for hosting. And I'll be signing up for the commitment workshop with Ashwini, and then the best year yet.
Yeah.
So I'm making it a practice weekend. And maybe your put a house. Little, you know what just dropped in? A little session in between of meditation.
There you go. There you
How
go.
How about that? The
have
whole
it
day.
All.
Just
Why
dedicate.
Not have it all? And RL in all of the little breaks, and you
oh,
are
love
silent.
It. All right.
All
I'm
right.
all set.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Sherry.
All
thank right. you, Jen. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Todd. That was, thank you to both of you. That really illustrated how Bridgewalk season is that win-win that we always talk about, right? Because mm-hmm. we're not only creating the funds for another year in the project, but the big piece of it is really the practice that happens around us, yeah. around it, because
oh, gosh.
It does give us ways to practice that nothing else gives us.
Exactly. Yeah.
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 And it's, yeah. somebody said this to me today or wrote it to me or something, but the you'll do for the love of others. And that's it. I mean, you know, that's the only thing that will motivate most of us to do something like this. And I know a lot of people have other things that they participate in, you know, charities that they support and activities that they participate in. And it usually, when we go past our own discomfort, it's for the love of someone or something else. Right, because mm-hmm. left to ourselves, the old ego tends to want to just choose comfort all the time. So it takes mm-hmm. something like love to kind of, you know, push us out of that ego comfort zone and into doing something that is challenging for us. So to let ourselves feel really good about those efforts is important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly, and it's what we truly want, too. I don't want to be stuck back there with ego's decisions.
No.
Well, it's comfort zone.
In an armchair with ego? No, thank you. Yeah. Ugh. Yuck.
Ooh, that's an image. Yeah. All right. Great. Well, we've got another caller here. Sherry, let's see if I can unmute them. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Well, hello, Emily. What are you seeing?
Hello. I wanted to look at feeling bad. I've been just been doing a lot of that recently, and it's
have you been stuck nothing. In an armchair with ego?
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nothing in particular. I think it started over the Christmas holidays, the two-week trip with my family, just a very familiar feeling of, I feel bad. I'm doing something wrong. I'm not the right kind of person. And then got a little relief from it when I got back home, but, you know, it's not... It's the process. It's not the circumstance. And
right.
it's just coming up a lot. And it's just leading to some discouragement. Another thing that was happening was like this feeling like, yeah, I'm watching it. But, yeah, I could describe everything the voices are saying to me all day long. Yeah, I'm watching it. What good is that doing? I'm still
okay.
suffering
okay.
with it.
Yes, indeed you are. And so what good is that doing? The good that it's doing is that you are really clear. Okay? So I bet there was a time when you believed that you felt bad for a reason. Either there was something wrong with you or you were doing something wrong or there were some circumstances or something. You've watched it long enough that you know, nope, it's not based on anything. It's just something that's there, okay? And now you've watched it to the point that you know exactly what it says. You've probably heard everything that it says over and over and over and over until, well, certainly you could say it easily. Please don't, but you could, right? And this is really important. Because I was looking at it just today, as a matter of fact, because I was looking at some habit, and what I was seeing was that, and maybe you've heard me say this because it's one of my things I'm most fond of, is that in awareness practice, I have never given up anything. Never anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've let go of a lot. And the way I let go of it was that I just did it until it occurred to me I didn't want to. And that is the very best way to let go of something. Because if you don't want it, you don't want it back. But if you let go of it because you should, because it would make you a better person, because it's the right thing, then it's always there in the background, just kind of angling for a way back in. Because you know you want me. You know you do. You know you do. Okay? But when you don't, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so this point of clarity, Emily, is really important. Now, then, what to do? And I bet you know what I'm going to say to do, okay? And I wish I had a fresh recommendation. But it's the same one because it's the only one that works. And that is, you have to get out of that conversation and you have to get into a conversation that is true. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you listen to, which you are, by the way, listen to propaganda all day long. I don't know what your politics are, but there are people who listen to information all day long about what danger they're in and the bad people and how those bad people are going to come and get them and the blah, 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 okay? And so they live in fear and anger and upset because they listen to that stuff all day long. Now, is there any truth to that? I would say no, although I'm probably one of those people that are afraid it's going to come after them, right? But I would say no, there's no truth to that whatsoever. As far as we can tell, none of that is happening, right? And so what do those people need to do? They need to stop listening to that stuff because the only reason they believe that is that that's what they're listening to. If they would stop listening to that, they would realize none of those things are happening. Okay, now the voice, of course, is going to jump in with, well, but they could. They could happen. Well, yeah, and elephants could fly and, you know, we're probably all going to be abducted by aliens next week. Yeah, anything could happen, but it's not happening right now. That's the important piece of it. And that's what you have to do. You have to stop listening to that propaganda because it is egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, propaganda radio. And it's nonstop, as you know. You go to sleep with it going in your head and you wake up with it going in your head. And if you wake up in the middle of the night, it's going in your head, okay? And so that's job one, okay? And so when you turn attention away from that, again, you know, forever people have been taught, come back to the breath. Well, that's nice. But for most people, that lasts about 3 seconds. And then their attention is caught by the voices again, and they're gone. And so we have to replace it. We have to replace it. And that's what the recordings are. Okay? You have to be listening. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Well, it seems like I'm also turning on recordings, and then I still listen to the voices of feeling bad. I'll have the recordings on, and I'm just like in this discouragement.
Right.
Like I'm still.
That's right. That's right.
The feeling
you will.
Bad stuff.
And after tonight's good news, you're going to start channeling Bertha. Okay, you're going to channel your inner Bertha, right? So that no matter how many times that happens to you. I hope you listened to that. If you didn't, you really are wondering.
Yeah,
what
no,
the
I
heck
heard
is
it.
She talking
it,
about?
The other story is that I just don't have what it takes to face.
Oh, Emily, for God's sake! You didn't have what it takes.
That's
we wouldn't be having this conversation, right? You would be off drunk in the
neighborhood
bar somewhere.
I don't have any adversity. I don't have any adversity, and
of
I'm just fighting
of
with this voice in my head. That's all I have.
Those are the adversity. Those are the adversity. Okay. If you were starving to death, you would not have the time and space to be listening to those voices. Okay. You'd be scrambling around trying to get food to put in your belly. Okay. This is the part of awareness practice that comes with privilege. Okay. So you are now in a place where you don't have to do that. And so what is available to you? Historically in the East, Far East, you would have to wait until you're my age to be doing this, okay? But you're being able to do it much younger, right? You have the time and the space to devote to awareness practice. And the adversary is ego. So it's legit, all right? It's legit. And so here's the thing. Now, again, people will sit in meditation, and they're trying to count from 1 to 10. And they say to me, but I can make shopping lists. I can redecorate my house. I can go on fantasy trips, okay? And I can still count from 1 to 10. And what I say to them is, no, you're not counting from 1 to 10. What you're doing is you count, and then you go over and look at conditioned mind, and then you come back and you count another number. And what you're learning to do is count, not count and spin off into some distraction that ego has offered, but really count. So you are learning to marshal your attention. You're grabbing it and lassoing it, and you are holding it right there to focus on what you want to focus on. It's the hardest thing anybody ever does.
So
and that's
I need
where you
to,
are in practice.
Like, learn how to listen to recordings again.
That's right. And so when you listen, you make a recording, well, you probably have tons of them, you're listening to the recording, you realize, oop, I just drifted off. Okay, go back and listen again. Oop, I drifted off. Go back and listen again. Okay? And that's what you do. Because, Emily, you're not accomplishing anything other than learning to direct attention to this here now. And that's the process to do it. The discouragement is only there because you have such a good shot at accomplishing it. If you didn't, you wouldn't be discouraged.
Yeah, that's a deep, deep story. That's getting my attention right now. Yeah. Well, I want to.
Yes, of course you do. And you will. You will. You just have to keep it up. So you get discouraged. Okay, start again. Okay, you drift off. Okay, start again. That's why we say, when your mind wanders, come back to one. That's a metaphor for all of life. When your mind wanders, come back to here. When your mind wanders, come back to here. When your mind wanders, come back to here. We have kalpas of training to follow ego off into whatever entertains it and makes it seem real. What we're trying to do and what we are succeeding at doing is learning to take attention away from ego and reclaim it for ourselves. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard.
Yeah, and when you were talking just then, I just had the image of, like, starting at the very beginning. Like, oh, okay.
Yes.
To just work on
yes.
this little moment.
That's where the humility,
right here.
The humility comes in. That's where we learn patience. We learn gratitude. We learn to choose love. Emily, truly, we become worthy in this process. That's what we're doing. Okay?
Okay.
Keep in touch.
Thank you.
All right.
I will.
Good.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us, Emily. And Sherry, just briefly, the Don't Suffer, Communicate retreat is brilliant for the process that the two of you were just talking about. So for people
yeah.
to really
Yeah, and we have one in May in a fabulous location right here on the West Coast.
Yeah, so that's
it's right around the corner. It doesn't seem like it, but it is right around the corner.
Oh, it truly is, yep. And before we take our next caller, we are going to hear from our recording and listening trainer folks, which is also good timing, actually.
Yeah.
So we'll be right back.
All right. Thanks, Jen. Okay.
All right.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, We can live in what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Wow, I heard that with new ears after talking to Emily.
That's brilliant. I did too. Oh my gosh, that's like, it was so fun.
Oh, that's really good. I'm going to sign up for that.
Really highlights, Sherry. I mean, I want to take other callers, but just briefly, it really highlights the value of metaphorically kind of the two-handed recording. In other words, people bringing what they're actually struggling with to the radio show because then it elicits what we all need to hear. It's so helpful.
It is.
All right. Well, here is our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jennifer.
Hello, Jennifer. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from Virginia.
Virginia. All right.
Yes.
What's going on in Virginia?
I am so, I was really into that last call because I feel like that's kind of where I am at, too. I've been in this place of feeling bad and looking at it. Mm. And I think, though, I've been feeling a lot more connected to my practice. I've been meditating every morning, and I've been doing recording and listening, and I've been, I still am feeling bad. And I guess it started with the new year when I was sick. And so I was physically actually feeling bad. And so for a couple days, my whole mentality was just to be kind to myself. And my body was just kind of in a crappy place. And so just to be kind to myself and just to rest and to not get stuck up on all the things I should be doing and just kind of take care of myself and support my body and all those
things.
Good for you.
It's the best thing you could do.
Thank you. And that's what dropped in, was just like, be kind. And I was like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And I just feel like now I physically feel better, but I still am kind of in this, like, just one step in front of the other, like, just do what I have to do. Like, I can only do like what I have to do and don't beat myself up over it. But I'm feeling like extremely energy.
So Jennifer, do you still not feel physically well, or you mean the energy drain is from the negativity of ego?
Yeah. I guess I'm having a hard time seeing that because I feel physically better, but I still don't have the energy, and I don't know, maybe if ego is beating me up in a way that I'm not seeing, maybe.
Oh yeah,
I
can promise you
the physical. Okay.
No, I can promise you, because what you started out with was feeling bad, and feeling bad is ego beating a person up. You know, it doesn't even require voices. You know, somebody in your head saying, you're an awful person, Jennifer. That's not a requirement. It's just a vague, oh, And with pictures of things like what you're not getting done or what didn't happen because you were sick or how you just don't have enthusiasm for anything, how there's just no sparkle in your life. You know, it doesn't require somebody abusing you in order to be a beating.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because the information you get is you're the wrong person.
I think the information that I'm getting is that I'm feeling the wrong way, because even in listening to the, you know, the update and everything that's going on, you're like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so much to be grateful for in my life. And I have this really amazing opportunity. I'm buying a house and it's like, I can't, it's like a dream come true. And I have all of these, I should be feeling all this excitement and gratitude and full of life. And I don't feel that. So it's not like I'm not the right person, but I'm not feeling the way that I should, I guess, is what
the Jennifer
are saying.
Doesn't that make you the wrong person? I mean, what's wrong with you? You have a great life. You have a dream come true here, and you're not happy? You're not excited? What is the matter with you? I suppose you're not even grateful. What is the matter with you? If you had me around your life for a while talking to you that way, do you think you would be getting information that you're really approved of and appreciated and that admired? Or would you kind of be getting a sense that I don't really think that much of you?
I mean, you're right. I do, but I have recordings for that, and I listen to them, and I feel the love. I tell myself that, you know, you're loved and you're supported and you're heard and you're seen and I feel you, and I feel it. I do.
And then what happens?
Whatever the next thing is, you know. Then I
okay.
Then
let me tell you what that is. Let me tell you what that is. You stop listening.
Yeah.
And so what we're learning to do with those recordings, so I don't know Jennifer, but she strikes me as a great gal. She does awareness practice. When she's sick, she knows to be kind and take care of herself. She's done whatever is required in life that she's getting ready to have a dream come true and have a home of her own, buy a house. Right? So she's got a lot of stuff going on for her, seems to me. Does that seem so to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of admire her?
Yeah.
is she a good person? I mean, she doesn't kick puppies or throw things at children or anything like that. She kind?
Yeah.
cares about people? Yeah. This is like pulling teeth, isn't it? Come on, Jennifer, you can do this. All right? She's a good person.
Right.
Good person. She is a good person. Again, it's like with Emily. If you weren't a good person, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Okay? You would be off somewhere kicking puppies. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you're not, because you are a good person who is practicing awareness. All right? And that's the reason that negativity is coming after you. It's trying to suck the energy out of you so that you won't do this anymore, right? And so with those recordings, what we're learning to do, so you, I mean, imagine you work, you're buying a house, for God's sake, you must work or have something to do all day long, right?
Yeah.
And so, so you can't just listen to recordings all day long, right? But you could probably listen to them a lot more than you do. And is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. All right. So there's that. And then there is being trained to talk to her that way all the time, even when those earbuds aren't in. You're learning how to be in relationship with her. Okay. You listen to that recording and she feels the love. She feels seen and heard. True?
Yes.
And so what you're learning to do is talk to her, be with her in a way that lets her know, regardless of circumstances, no matter what's happening, she is loved, she is seen, she's appreciated. Somebody on this earth, and I bet a lot more people than one, know what a good person she is. That's how you treat her. Not just when she's sick. It's a really good idea to treat her that way when she's sick. It's a really good idea to treat her that way when she's well. And so all day long, you're learning to note the things that she does. That when she's here, when she's present, what she notices, how she is with people, when she's kind, when she's appreciative, when she's polite, when she notices goodness in other people. All you're training. You're training to notice those things about her and let her know that you see that you love her, that you appreciate her, that you respect her, that you admire her, that you're grateful that she's the human being you're going through life with. You get a feel for it?
I think I just need to, you're right, like I just need to listen more to that because I can hear that, I can feel that, and I need that more. And maybe it's because I have gotten to know that, and so it's like now it's like I need more of it.
Oh, we all need more of it, Jennifer. You know, if we look around at the world, what's missing? It's that. It's love.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People don't feel loved. They don't feel seen. They don't feel heard. They don't feel appreciated. We all need that. And the more we have that for ourselves, the more we can be that in the world. So there's nothing selfish about it, right? It's the greatest gift that we can give. Because when you have that for yourself, you want everybody on the planet to have that for themselves. So, a la Emily, just don't give up. Ego's trying to take it away from you because you're on this, because you know it. You know how it works. You know what to do. Now the only thing it can do is try to stop you from doing it.
Yeah, and I often, sometimes I get, or it uses my practice against me, you know, because I feel sometimes I try to be in control of myself and my emotions. And so then when I have like this feeling of feeling bad, it kind of makes me like, it's almost like it brainwashes me to think like, oh, this is the same thing as like when you were sick, like you just need to like, you know, kind of give into this feeling and like, let it be. And then I kind of get trapped in that, like just it being in the badness, like creel, you know, the yuck, right? Like it kind of,
that's right. Nope,
tricks
you
me.
Say, that's right, it tricks us, and that's the other thing, it's going to use everything, it's going to, before we're done, we will have seen every nasty trick that nastiness can come up with, okay, and it's going to use it all against us, and so we just say, okay, well, good, thank you, I've seen that, all right, so when that feeling bad comes in, that's just a signal, oh, she needs love. We need to turn our attention to love. Let's talk about love, okay? Let's talk about all the things that we love, okay? How much we love, how great love is, the love we want for everybody. I just wrote this down. It's one of my favorite things that I've ever said, and it's a prayer for all of us that we will feel the love that makes us want to love, and that's what it is. Right? So just turn your attention to love. She needs love. Feeling bad? Oh, person feeling bad? Person needs love. Feeling bad is nothing but an absence of love. Okay?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you so
much. If you forget, call me, okay? Call me.
Okay.
I'll remind
you.
Thank you,
and I have this call, too. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Jennifer. Good night.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks so much for joining us, Jennifer. Just briefly, Sherry, it's interesting because I've been hitting some challenges in my own practice, and listening to people tonight, it just dropped in. You know, we're not on the phone every day together.
the way we normally on it are as a Sangha. And so
that's
we're
right,
out
the year-long retreat. Yes, yes.
So I just
go ahead. You're
really
right, though.
Interesting. Yeah, and such an important experience to see that it. I mean, practice is something we got to do all the time, and when we don't have that every morning call, and this, I'm not saying we should have it. I just think it's interesting to note that there are differences when it's not there, and that that just helps us to see, underline how important it is. Yeah.
Yes, because the thing we don't want to forget is how long that system has had absolute control of us.
Exactly.
Yeah, and now we're going up against it. It's a prison break. You know, if you break out, you're out, right? But this is a prison break that just goes on and on and on and on, and we just have to, keep working for our freedom.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we have time for one more caller. So.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris calling from Boston.
Well, hello, Chris. How are you doing?
I am wanting to, I mean, this whole episode has been amazing.
Did you say some of the things you wanted to hear?
Yeah, exactly the things that I wanted to hear. And that prayer that you just mentioned. The may I love that which makes me want to love.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a variation on it, and I really like that variation. That's going in my book. because that's the way you articulate it. That's exactly what's going on. We have to love love.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, because we are loved. And when we recognize that and we love that love, then happiness can't be far behind.
Yes, and I noticed that because, I mean, it's so practice, but I listened and listened and listened to Open Air maybe 2 or 3 years ago at this point, and I remember thinking, I don't understand what they're talking about. I don't get it, but I just kept being drawn to it and listening and not understanding I understood the words, like, okay, turn attention to love, what does that mean? But I would listen hours a day when I was back in Germany, and it's just remarkable how putting yourself in front of that and just letting yourself be unfolded in that way.
Oh, Chris, I tell you, I'm just grinning from ear to ear because when I first went to the monastery where I trained, my teacher said exactly that. He said, people will come here and they'll say, you know, I understand every word that you're saying, but I have no idea what you're talking about. And, of course, that was absolutely my experience. And just as you say, I just stayed there. Mm. I just stayed there. And he said, just whatever you don't understand, just slide it to the back burner. You'll understand one day. You'll understand it, and we do, right? Because, as you say, we are unfolded.
Mm-hmm. It's that showing up with the hands open.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, ready to receive whatever is offered to me. I'm here. And I'm already saying thank you because everything I've got already, I can't say thank you enough for.
Yeah. Yes. And this, the whole, just on a final note, cause I know we're at the hour here, but the whole, this whole time I've just, it has just dropped in over and over that, I don't know if it's Ram Dass, that quote about, if we really saw each other, we would fall to the ground in worship.
Yeah. I don't know if that's Ram Dass or Thomas Merton, but we'll Google it and find out. It's probably somebody else, but I know the quote, and yes, that's exactly it. If we could see what we really are, which speaks to the love, right? Because that's what we are. Mm. We are that love. And that's why that system is working so hard to obscure it, to cover it over, to get us to focus on something else. Because as soon as we realize that's what we are, that's all we want to be and that's all we want to do.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm. Well, it makes me very happy to hear your voice because I can remember quite clearly the first time we spoke. And yes, you were not certain at all that you were going to be able to pull this off, right?
Right.
And here you are just practicing along and the light's coming on and I project getting happier and happier and it's a wonderful thing.
It's a wonderful thing. And looking at retreats and getting to have that experience.
Oh, well, maybe you'll come and join us at Santa Sabina in May.
I'm looking
at it. Beautiful weather, beautiful retreat. Mm-hmm. Could happen, huh?
It could. All right.
It could. All right. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Take good care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. Good night. And Sherry, thank you for an absolutely lovely show and to everyone.
Oh, and to everyone. It's always such a pleasure, isn't it? It is such a pleasure to be together. And I really thank you for making that connection about the year-long retreat, because for those of us who do miss it dreadfully, we want to get it on our – if we do the workshop on commitments with Ashwini, we want to get that in the best year yet, because I think it starts March 5th or 10th or something like that. And we'll all be back together again.
Yeah,
got to get that email class out of the way. And then...
Exactly. That kind of sets the ground for it. And then I'm sure we'll hear more about it in the kickoff this weekend. And also just that it is a workshop. You know, not being in that retreat, I think, gives us a chance to kind of build up our own, you know, try out our own little legs and then get back together.
Yeah.
And it's all good. It's all good. I just appreciate
it really
everything.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, Jen. Me too.
All right.
All right. Well, you take good care, too.
I certainly will.
All right.
Will. You
good night.
Well. Okay. Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.